أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا أمة بعد أمته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. وقال تعالى أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يعلم الله الذين جاهدوا منكم ويعلم الصابرين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable brothers, friends in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum went through a lot of persecution, difficulty, torment in Makkah Mukarrama. The transition from Makkah Mukarrama to Medina Munawwara was a hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from a strength of weakness to a strength to a point of strength. It was from difficulty to ease. If it was from abject poverty, it was to riches and comfort. Khabbab radiallahu anhu, a sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Shakawna ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We tabled our complaint to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَهُوَ مُتَوَسِّدٌ بُرْدَةً لَهُ فِي ظِلِّ الْكَعْبَةِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the Khatamun Nabiyyin, the seal of prophets, the best of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very simple individual, was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, takes his shawl, and that's used as a cushion to lie and to recline in the shade of the Kaaba Sharif. We know when it is hot, then we would go into some AC and air-conditioned area. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is lying down, taking some shelter in the shade of the Kaaba Sharif. And the personality who is coming to complain is Khabbab radiallahu anhu. So he tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much of persecution we going through in Makkah Mukarramah. Ala tastansiru lana, ala tadu Allah lana. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is it not yet the time for you to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our help and assistance? Has the time not yet come for you to make dua, to implore and to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our comfort and for our ease? The sahabi who's coming with the complaint is not the sahabi who has left the lap of luxury and been tested momentarily. Khabbab radiallahu anhu was that sahabi who was a slave. Already we understand that he is coming from a weaker part of society. Khabbab radiallahu anhu is a slave, doesn't enjoy any rights. It's not yet Islam, because Islam was the religion that gave rights to all and sundry in society. Whether it was a lady, it was a child, it was the poor, everyone enjoyed equal, or we would say enjoyed rights in the deen of Islam. Everyone had some right because of the deen of Islam. Khabbab radiallahu anhu is that sahabi who in Makkah Mukarrama, so he's a youngster, 16 years approximately of age, judging from his date of demise. So he is a youngster and he was a slave who's working for a very rich lady in Makkah Mukarrama. The moment he pronounces his Islam and he says that he is a believer, he is immediately meted out with torment and punishment. The books of history explain that it was the fat on the back of Khabbab radiallahu anhu that will extinguish the burning amber that was used to punish Khabbab radiallahu anhu. Imagine being placed on hot coal. Imagine being placed on the hot burning sands of Makkah Mukarramah.
We know when it is extremely hot and you walk in on the beach, then the sand is actually burning you. You have to hop. You can't stay even a few seconds on the sand. Imagine the sands of Makkah Mukarramah, desert sand, and being placed, and the fat of his body would extinguish the flames or the heat of those burning coal and amber. This Sahabi is bringing a complaint. He came with a few others that were being persecuted, punished in Makkah Mukarramah. And they asked Nabi Sallam, please make dua. Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's assistance and nusra. It's difficult times. And especially in the present situation, and I suppose that's every Jumu'ah perhaps we hear it, and every now and then we are reminded of this, that this is what has happened. We know when we are tested, how every now and then or often wouldn't we bring the difficulty, our test to the fore and remind the family. Something happened, whatever happened in a small family circle, one person perhaps stole the warsu and the inheritance, and how every now and often we would just bring that to the fore and say, yeah, don't forget. You know, you remember what he did. Or a person went through any difficulty. That's every now and then brought. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Muslimuna karajulin wahid. That the believers are like one body. And we can complete the rest of the hadith. We know it so well. That if any part of the body is experiencing pain, the entire body joins to say we are also in pain. And when this part of the ummah in Gaza is experiencing pain, there shouldn't be a moment that we forget about it. We shouldn't be immunized to the genocide. Our hearts should not become numb to what we are listening. 60,000 and counting. When we hear what's been meted out and been done, we should every now and then understand that the pain of the ummah, that especially the people of Gaza are going through, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَشَّدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَا ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ. The people that were tested the most, the greatest, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever there was a test, the greatest of tests were the greatest of men. You go through the greatest test, so when we give the results, no one has any objection to say, well, he deserves it. This is what he went through. And we know the persecution, the difficulties that Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam went through. The difficulties they went through, how much we read about it in Fadaili Amal, whenever we're doing ta'lim in our houses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we reignite that, and we always have ta'lim, recitation of the book of ahadith. We every now and then recall the incidents of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. There is a bayan that we heard, then we just repeat the message to say this is what we heard. So those messages can become deep engraved in our hearts. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the people to be tested the greatest will be Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, thumma al-amthal fal-amthal. And to follow them, those that will be strongest in iman, and then those strongest after them, which means that the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in proportion to the iman of a person. The test sometimes we go through is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bless us immensely in akhirat. We cannot reach a certain level. So the test is meted out and is given to us. We pass the test and then we will enjoy favors. So the people of Gaza, if we look at it, imagine to endure a genocide for 1.5 years and counting, going close to 2 years. And imagine seeing your son being dressed in Eid clothes and becoming a shaheed. Imagine sitting in a tent with no gun, nothing around you. It's just civilians, women and children, and a bomb falls not on the house, on the tent. One is you bombed the place because you need them to leave. Now it's such frustration that you bomb even the shelter that the person has. Imagine person evicts you and you're out of the property. Whatever it be, you're out of the property. And now you take cardboard and you take some belongings of yours and you lie down on this, on the pavement. Security passes and they say this is breach of security and they chase you from there. Now you see, they chase me from my house. I'm on the street and they're still chasing me. Where must I go now? I don't even have a house. Where do I go? Imagine leaving your house and going to a shelter and being bombed in the shelter. Where else do you run to? So such frustration that they want to drive the people of Gaza out. But unfortunately, sometimes it is still the sentiments of some. Why did the Muslims start it? But again, it's because we don't know the history. We don't know what happened. We don't know for how long they've been suffering. Imagine for so long, we know you don't give certain rights to a person who's working for you, and the authorities would be there to close your shop. The authorities would be there to arrest you. Basic human rights, basic human necessities, if it cannot be given, it's such a big hoo-ha in the world. Here an entire population of 2 million approximately people are suffering. No basic necessities. Where's the 1 billion Muslims of the world? We are the 1 billion Muslims. But at least to this much we need to do. The step we can take is we need to petition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a united force, as an ummah, as an individual, as a family, in whichever capacity we can, we have to continue petitioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine the sahabi Khabbab radiallahu anhu saying, Ya Rasulullah, says, make dua, we're going through untold difficulties. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives himma, he gives courage to the sahabi. He says, قَدَ كَانَ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ. Back in the days, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making muzakara, he's reminding the sahaba, I haven't forgotten, I haven't put the veil to your difficulties. Oh my sahabi, I'm fully aware of what you're enduring, what you're going through. Untold for sure. But remind yourself that there were people who went through worse than you. And Nabi Sallam wants to build the iman of sahaba radiallahu anhum. And Nabi Sallam is telling Khabbab radiallahu anhu, back in the days, in the previous nations, a Muslim would be brought, fayu'ta, a person used to be brought, fayuhfaru lahu fil ard, they will dig into the ground, thumma yuj'alu fiha, they'll place him in the ground, they will cover him up with sand, he cannot make any move. And then they would take a saw of steel, we would say like a, you know, you take a saw, and that saw used to be placed on his head. فَيُجْعَلُ نِسْفَيْنِ, they would cut the head and the head would split into two. And the person who is doing this is telling the victim, if you don't renounce the deen of Islam, I'm going to kill you. He says, how are you going to kill me? He says, I'll cut your head into two. But مَا يَسُدُّهُ ذَلِكَ عَنْ دِينِهِ, he says, do what you want, I will never ever give up my deen. You can kill me, put me into two pieces. وَيُمْشَتُ بِأَمْشَاتِ الْحَدِيدِ. Now again, this sounds so gruesome. It sounds so punishing, heart sore. But what the people of Gaza are going through. فَيُؤْتَ بِأَمْشَاتِ الْحَدِيدِ. وَيُمْشَتُ بِأَمْشَاتِ الْحَدِيدِ. Combs of iron used to be brought. They would tell the person, become murtad and leave the deen of Islam, else we will comb the veins, the flesh and your skin out of your body. He says, do what you want, but I'll never ever give up my Allah. My deen, never. And the person used to be combed, slow death, taking an iron comb, and they'll comb his skin, they'll comb his flesh, they will comb down and remove his veins and tissues until he dies. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling Sahaba, I understand you all are going through a test, without doubt. But understand that this is not without gain. So the pain of the people of Gaza, there is gain for it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most definitely, sometimes the wind is blowing in Durban, but the trees are germinating in another place. The wind will blow in Gaza, but the seeds of Iman are germinating around the world. Yes, what we see is the politics of Gaza is reshaping the mindset of the world. But what is happening in Gaza, has it reshaped me as an individual? Have I come to realize that I can be the next victim? It can be me tomorrow. It can be our country. Some people are worried. See, Molana, South Africa is not the place. Please sell your properties if you have, and you start taking your investments offshore. But I'm not understanding what you're talking about. He says, look at this. Our soldiers are stuck in DRC. We can't even get them with planes because only one helicopter is working. The airport is shut down. We need to go fetch them with our trucks. We don't have petrol as yet. We ask for the increase in VAT, they never give it. How are we going to pick them up? He says, next they're coming for South Africa. And we got nothing to defend ourselves. Now everyone's parishan. So what if they come here? Now listen, let's move away from the port. In case the ships come to Durban, we go inland. Ya Allah. Imagine the people of Gaza, such a small piece of land. When initially that map came out, then they said the distance of approximately Ispingo to Tonga to Verlam. And you can't move anywhere. Where do you run? Wherever you run, there is a bomb. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, whatever you undergo, whatever you go, you endure for the deen of Allah. Wallahi la yutimmanna Allahu hadha al-amr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take this deen to perfection. When we are tested, when we go through some pain, definitely there is gain, for sure. And whatever pain, so the lessons and some of the recommendations or some plan of action that we all need to have, we can continue. My question is, our question should be, what's my role to the betterment of the ummah? What am I doing for the people and for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be in a better space? Let us not just say it's politics. This is not politics. This is about the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is about Masjidul Aqsa. If you minus the people of Gaza, are we ready to stand in front of Masjidul Aqsa? Are we ready to say, do what you want? This masjid belongs to us. Are we ready to give the blood of our youngsters? Imagine Ahmed Manasra, 13-year-old boy, moving with his cousin. We know the rest of the details. They catch him. Innocent, 13-year-old boy. Whether he's innocent or he had a stone in his hand. Even if he had a stone. They haven't proved it. Video footage hasn't claimed anything in his hand. Yet you drive over a 13-year-old boy. And you say he's a terrorist. And then you imprison him. And you create a law within your constitution to make sure that this boy stays in jail. You amend your laws against international protocol. You change everything and say, this is the law of the land. It has to be meted out. 13-year-old boy gone to jail. Eventually they increase, or eventually it was 10 years. And 10 years, very recently we heard about him, Ahmed Manasra, coming out and giving little bit details, and his mother recounting some of the experiences in how she tried to get, imagine how we would cry if there was my 14-year-old or 15-year-old son was in jail. We wouldn't be able to eat. The people of Gaza, we think they're in good spaces. They are crying and tearing. Am I tearing for the ummah? It may not be my son. This is the son of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The same ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah Wallahi brothers, me and you are going to go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to say, Ya Habibi, please, Ash-Shafa'a, Ash-Shafa'a. What his cry will be, not my Fatima, not my Aisha, his cry will be, Ummati, Ummati, where's my Ummah? He's not going to take our individual names. He's going to say, where's my Ummah? For me and you to be part of that Ummah, we have to be part of the suffering. We have to be part of the betterment of the people of Gaza. Part of the change of the entire Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine this mother is saying that they take my son and put him in solitary confinement. What is this boy going to do? He says he's got terrorism or he's got terrorist tendencies in him. And eventually they put him in this confinement all alone in one jail. And the food is placed and given to him. He doesn't even see a human being for months. Mother takes a lawyer, goes to court, and her only request is, Judge, I just want to put my finger through the keyhole. That's all. I don't want to see my son. I'm not going to look. I'll put my finger. The judge says, permission for you. Mother says, I put my finger through the keyhole, and I'm telling my Ahmed, Ahmed, touch my finger. And the son latches on. He says, Mummy, after how long I'm touching a human being? And he says, this is my mother. He says, my, I haven't seen you for so long. He's crying. Imagine that mother, how do you leave the jail? How do you leave your young teenage son and go home and eat? Will you ever be able to eat a meal? No. If what is going on to the people of Gaza, forget about 100%. If even 50% of it was happening in Durban, wallahi brothers, we'll all come to the Jummah Salah and we'll just cry. Why are you crying, bhai? I'm crying to Allah. I'm just crying to Allah. But when last have I shed my tear for Allah and said, Ya Allah, this is what's happening to Gaza. Ya Allah, my heart and my iman is so weak. I can't do anything besides cry. I can't do anything besides cry. I don't know what else to do. We know we're limited with what we can do. But this tear is for free. I ask myself as an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what have I done for the people of Gaza? Now what can we do in a positive light? Simple. In a positive light, what we can do. Wherever there is an organization and they are collecting for the aid of Gaza, aid is going, in whichever limited way it is going. If I can sacrifice something worth 100 rand to buy something for 70 rand, at least 30 rand in for Gaza. Ya Allah, that much I gave. Sometimes we feel, but Mawlana, someone is giving 1 million and the other person gave 10,000. I can't, I'm only earning 15,000. That person who can give whatever percentage of his earning appreciated by Allah. The man who's got 1 million and he gives 10,000, how many percent he give? The man who's got 1 million and he gave 10,000, how many percent he give? 1,000, or 1%. And the man who's got 1,000 rand, if he gives 10 rand, how many percent he give? 1%. Sawab is equal. Because the pain of both is the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not looking at how many rands you give. What was your percentage of sacrifice? Alhamdulillah, every one of us do a lot of nafal. We read Quran. We fast sometimes Mondays and Thursdays. We do a lot of nafal ibadah. Let never a nafal ibadah ever go from today without saying, Ya Allah, the reward of this tilawah of Quran is for me and for the people of Gaza. And for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that's the cry of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ummati, ummati. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us tawfiq. Grant us love for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, worry and concern, and the worry and concern will bring us closer to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.